After the premiere of the TV show Cheers, where everybody knows your name, immediately it made the top British and U.S. pop charts, the song did. It received an Emmy Award nomination in 1983, and later the two disparate magazines, Rolling Stone and TV Guide, respectively named the song the best TV show song ever. Now, I don't think it's just that the song is so tuneful, but that people really do want to go where everybody knows their name. For those who did not watch the show, a little information. Cheers was all about a nice little Boston bar where the owner, Sam Malone, a former baseball star, and a slew of colorful regulars. Who watched the show, by the way? All right, Unitarian Universalists. Who didn't? That's right. Norm, Cliff, Dr. Frasier, Carla, Woody. They get together every day for a few hours, and they talk about life's problems. They laugh at each other's flaws, and they support each other in times of trouble. For those who did not watch the show, I was a real fan. I learned just recently that you can watch it streamed online on CBS Online. Of course, wanting to do due diligence for this service in my research, I had to admit that I watched all of the 10 free episodes. You know you can sign up for all the episodes, all 275 of them, on CBS.com. So if you watched the show, which many of you did, you recall that when the episode begins, that a big burly man walks into the bar, and what do they say to him? Hi, Norm! All right. Every single time, that brings a smile to my mouth, and it also tugs at my heart, because I want to be Norm. I want to go where everybody knows my name. I used to have a great memory for names. In my younger days, I was a director of religious education in a church with more than 100 people, children. We had 100 adults and 100 children. That was the good old days of religious education and when churches were peopled by lots of families, and I know that more families are coming to this church, which warms my heart as well. I not only remembered the names of all the children, I remembered the names of the parents, the grandparents, and their pets. But no more. I have heard that this is one of the first things to go. I am now 70 years old, and in my own church, average age 80 in our congregation, I sometimes forget the names there. Maybe you do, even with this large and growing congregation. Or maybe you have not met all the people here. I'd like to invite you, as you are comfortable, to join a little exercise, and don't worry, there are no memory tests to be given. If you'd like to participate in a few moments, I'm going to ask you to pair up with someone. It could be someone that you know, or it can be someone that you have yet to meet or don't know well. Decide which one of you is going to talk first, and I'm going to ring a bell, and then you have about a minute to talk to each other, and then I'm going to ring the bell again, and you have another minute to talk to each other. And what you're going to tell each other is something about your name. So it can be your first name, your nickname, your middle name, your last name, whatever name that you want to. So why don't you find a partner, first of all, and then I'll hit our little gong. And if somebody doesn't have a partner and wants one, raise your hand so someone can come and be with you. Switch. The other person gets to talk now. I hate to break up these new friendships. Wasn't that fun? It's just like the time to greet one another. You don't want to stop. You just got a chance to say hello. We're almost ready to start, or restart, I should say. Thank you. You had a good time, right? Yeah. So now you're going to know each other a little bit better, and this may be something that you want to continue at your coffee hour, both today and maybe another time too. Just tell me about your name. It's always so fascinating. We love to tell people that, and it's so personal, a good way to get to know each other. Here's another tidbit about the Cheers Bar. It was founded in 1969 as the Bull and Finch Pub. It's a fun, dark-paneled pub. It's an inspiration, of course, for the television program. And it's just a couple of blocks from where our UUA headquarters used to be on 25 Beacon Street. Until just a couple years ago. They knew us there, and we knew them, and they knew our names, and we knew their names. Here's my Cheers mug, out of which I drink my soy vanilla latte every morning. I remember it with a great deal of fondness. So speaking of church, I guess I'm always doing that. I love church. If I weren't a minister, I would be at a Unitarian Universalist church somewhere, someplace, every single Sunday. I might sing in the choir. I might work with the babies. I might be a worship associate. I don't know, but I would never miss church. By the way, did you know that singing with others releases pleasure-producing endorphins as well as oxytocin, which lowers stress and wards off anxiety? Singing together with people brings bonds in a unique way. Quite literally, it turns out, studies show, that the heartbeats of those singing together sync up with the music and sync up with each other's hearts. Yeah. Feelings of connection and trust arise. Group singing has been shown to lessen feelings of loneliness, which is what we do here every week on Sunday. Of course, we have all heard that the percentage of the population attending church has drastically declined. Churches and religious organizations have been trying to figure out why. They know some of the reasons. From these studies, they have come up with some very interesting conclusions. They found it's not for a lack of something more, believing in something larger than ourselves, which for some people is called God. In fact, the survey repeatedly said that something do believe in something, community, nature, God, the divine, the sacred, something larger than themselves. One of the biggest reasons that people say they don't attend church is because, well, they're just too busy, is what they say. And many say they're getting their social needs met in other ways. But that might not be so true. They may not have the social connection that church community provides us at all. That's a problem. More people report they are lonelier than ever before. When asked if they have people in their lives, close people, caring people, that they can tell their joys and sorrows to hear them, or even to know their names, much less care about them. They don't. It used to be just a few years ago that people could name maybe a handful of people. Some people can't even name one person with whom they have that close connection. You may have read, too, about the rise in addiction in our population. The opioid addictions are in the news all the time. Other drugs, alcohol for sure, and other addictions as well. One of the most likely causes for addiction is loneliness. In an experiment, a rat is put in a cage all alone. It has nothing to do but drink a drugged water from a little vial. In another cage, one rather lush, filled with colorful balls and tunnels through which to scamper and plenty of other rats, everything a rat about town could ever want. It also had a drip of drugs, but it had another drip of just water. The startling thing was that the rats with the good lives didn't even want to take the drugged water at all. The experimenters thought it might be a quirky thing about rats, until they looked at something akin to what is in our human development. During the Vietnam War, Time magazine reported the use of heroin was as common as chewing gum. among the U.S. soldiers. A full 20% of the soldiers had become addicted, and the Army was terrified about what it would mean when they would come home. But it seems that 95% of them simply stopped, some with rehab, of course. They had, it seems, shifted from a terrifying cage, the war, back to a pleasant one, home. And that is what is so interesting to me. This discovery is a profound challenge both to the right-wing view that addiction is a moral failing caused by too much hedonistic partying, and the liberal view that addiction is a disease taking place in a chemically hijacked brain. In fact, the researchers found, addiction is an adaptation. It is not about you. It is your cage. So the opposite of addiction is not sobriety. The opposite of addiction is connection. Why not just go hiking with your friends and commune with nature on a Sunday morning? Or join some other social civic organizations? That's pretty good. Well, for one thing, there are not that many of the old civic organizations thriving anymore. My dad was a moose. I think my mom was a moosette. And church provides many of the benefits of all of those organizations and more right under one roof. There are certainly non-church attending folks who are self-motivated and find ways to serve tirelessly in their communities. But many of us find that we don't always follow through on our intention to get directly involved, contributing our time and our talent and our treasure to what we find worthwhile, unless we are encouraged to do so, and we are often encouraged to do so by our churches and by the people in those churches. Come, march with me. Come, take that RE class. Come, be a greeter on Sunday morning. Whatever it is, whatever it takes, it's the human connection. We engage in social justice here in this congregation because it's the right thing to do. For reasons beyond our heads, mostly because of our hearts. Perhaps here we are acknowledging what I like to call something larger than ourselves. By whatever name you want to give it, for a purpose much larger than ourselves. A. Powell Davies, one of our most famous Unitarian ministers, great speaker, renowned social and political activist, and leader who spurred the growth of our faith in the 1950s, thousands would come hear him preach, said that church is a place where we go to grow our souls. Church is a place where we go to grow our souls. Connection of souls, not isolated souls. In my reading about why people go to church, much of what I found was in Christian blogs. Of course, reasons given were statements of faith, belief in God, taking the sacraments. However, there is much, much more about connection. One young woman's story could well have been told by anyone here, certainly me. She mentioned coming into the church building on Sunday morning, hearing her name called out, followed by a hug, both of which are really placeholders for the conversation that may unfold today, this week, next month, sometime in the future. She said, "We all engage in small talk because that precedes our heart talks." She continues saying going to church kind of bugs her because we don't go to church. We are the church. And even though it's messy and it's imperfect, even though she says, "I've let them down so many times," and even though there are disappointments, and even though I don't agree with everybody, and I'm sure people think I'm crazy there too, I don't think we need an official Sunday morning thing to be part of this church. As coming here, we cross a lot of our self-made boundaries. And she says, "I keep choosing this little community out of hope and joy." Does that sound familiar to any of you here? She mentions, too, wanting to reclaim the heritage of her faith. I think today about how Christianity has been hijacked by the people on the right. She wanted to keep the heritage of Jesus, the way of Jesus in her life and with the people that she shared his teachings, which could be just the same we would say here. We want to continue to hold dear and to promote our own heritage, the heritage of a free faith, Unitarian Universalism. And finally, there are two reasons which mean a lot to me personally. One, she says that even when she falls short of her own ideals, she can practice, she can learn, she can start all over again. It's amazing grace. And two, here people can pray for you. Yes, even in a Unitarian Universalist congregation. When we take part in lighting our candles or sharing our joys and sorrows, it is a small sacred act, and it is one in which there is a connection of the congregation of this connected community to the person sharing that joy or that sorrow. In this broken and often disheartening world, attending here, attending the Unitarian Universalist Church in Fullerton, in an intentional community, this plain old church, as beautiful as this building is, this plain old group of plain old people, it feels like a radical act of faith, and it's truly a spiritual discipline. We show up. We talk with each other. We listen to each other. Candles are lighted. We sing together. After services, we carry on with coffee and conversation, those little talks that precede the heart talks. We are a people of faith. We are a people of an historic faith, 400 years of a faith, of connection and of love. This is how we live. This is what we do. We do this because we are the love people. We who stay together and who find our way home together, where everybody knows your name. And we're very glad you came. Amen, and blessed be.